This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Good morning. Welcome in. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a happy hour Friday. Thank you so much for being with us. We appreciate it. Three happy hours straight ahead.
Woo!
Good morning to you, Randy. How are you?
What's happening, man? All good. Yeah, buddy. It is Friday. It's a nice, sunny, brick day.
Yeah, just don't go outside.
But, yeah, but it is Friday. Yeah. And, yeah, big weekend coming up of nothing. But other than that, yeah, it was good to have sports. We were just talking before we came on air how great that hockey game was last night. I'm like, damn, another intermission, huh? Even for overtime.
Yeah. I know. I was like, do they really need to smooth the ice out again before overtime?
Before overtime.
Just play overtime on the rough ice. It'll be fine.
I mean, it was great. I had a good time watching it. Obviously, sitting there with my sons and they're watching it with me. And you know, you didn't get the result that you wanted for us. But, yeah, just an outstanding match. And I'm talking about, you know, I didn't stay up afterwards who got MVP or nothing like that. Mm-hmm. But whoever got the MVP, it should have been the damn Canadian goalkeeper.
Definitely.
Because his ass was on one in overtime. He was on one in overtime.
Jordan Binnington.
He was on one.
He was an absolute wall.
He was on one last night. And so as far as, like, just keeping him in the game, I mean, just the glove save.
It was infuriating.
It was like, that's what I was getting.
It was like, come on. Like, come on, man. Like, what? Couple of those shots in overtime. Like,
yeah, man. They were spot on.
Like, maybe block them, but just to catch them?
Yeah.
Like, it was like
was
so disrespectful.
Real cocky with it.
It was like, how are you able to even see the puck, let alone catch it and keep it in your glove and deny? I mean, there was so many chances in overtime where the entire third period almost and overtime period almost, the U.S. had the chances.
Yeah.
They had all the chances.
Yep.
I mean, they had so many good looks, and unfortunately, they couldn't get it past him. And then you don't want to leave a guy like Connor McDavid open.
He's the best.
I don't know that much
world.
About hockey.
He's the best player in the world.
But that guy right there is a name that I know. I saw him in the Stanley Cup Finals last, and obviously didn't go his way last year in the Stanley Cup Final. But yeah, it seems like a guy you might want to pick up in front of the net.
He's the best player in the world.
He was pretty surgical with that one.
Now, they held him in check the whole game.
Yeah, they did a good job.
They did a good job on him, man. But yeah, just the fact that I was like, not him. Anybody but this guy.
Oh, there's McDavid. Snipe. Oh, all right. Well, it was a fun game. It was a good run. Dang it. That's not the guy you want to. Yeah, well, I guess at least it was a really good guy. I don't know if that makes any difference. At least it wasn't like, because, you know, goals were coming from all kinds of different guys. Obviously, one of the guys that scored a goal for the U.S. was in there because of injury. Wasn't really going to play that much aside from one of the U.S. guys getting injured, not being able to go. So, yeah, it was crazy. It was awesome. It was really fun. So many people tuning in last night to watch a hockey game.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think I've ever really had that experience before as a sports fan.
No.
Where you're kind of on social media watching people tweet about it.
Right.
A lot of people that don't normally talk about hockey talking about hockey. It was cool. I don't know what it means going forward. I don't try to predict if this is some sort of like seminal moment for the popularity growing of the sport or something. It would be cool, but I don't know if it is. All I know is last night was really fun.
It was awesome. And I usually don't watch a lot of hockey. I watched all of it last year because Florida was in the Stanley Cup. So I watched all those and enjoyed that very much and was getting frustrated because that guy and his team, we were up 3-1 and then here he comes and his dude's roaring back. And luckily, you know, Florida was able to hang on. And I don't know how it views everything. I think the biggest thing that, and we talked about it all week, and we don't have to get back back into the, but because of it came up right next to the NBA All-Star, now it's some senses, I don't know who these crazy ass people are, is that that hockey's going to jump, have this significant jump. It's not going to jump over baseball. It's damn sure not going to jump over basketball.
No.
It's right where it is. It's a great place, because that was, I mean, it was great. And I think one more than anything, because it's the country.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think, you know, when you look at it from
big
that part
of it.
Because we mentioned it on Monday. We were talking about the All-Star game. And I said the best basketball I've seen was the Olympics, mm-hmm, because of that.
Mm-hmm.
That you saw our players, our countrymen, how they went all out.
It's that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's also the fact that it's just the best guys.
Yes.
And I know the All-Star game kind of is too,
but
this is even more than that. Like,
right.
This is more than just All-Star. This is like national team level, elite of the elite of the elite.
Right.
Which is the other thing, too, is like, because we've been watching a lot of hockey the last couple of weeks with this and then also Boston University. For whatever reason, we've decided to get back into that. I don't know why, but we did. It's kind of fun. There's a big difference.
Yeah.
You know, it's like it's going to be a big difference if this is like encouraging you to go follow, I don't know who it would be, the Carolina Hurricanes or whoever, like whoever maybe you want to try to pick up and watch a little bit. Like even those games, while they're really good, aren't going to be like this.
No.
Because these are the best guys in the entire world playing on behalf of their country against the other guys that are the best in, mm-hmm, the entire world playing on the behalf of their country. There's also the Canadian-U.S. thing, which, mm-hmm, is really fun and kind of bubbling underneath the surface, mm-hmm, makes it even more timely that it's going on right now and all that. So it's just kind of more in it than you probably could have even planned.
Right.
And they were saying it on the broadcast last night. They were like, they didn't know this was going to happen.
No.
They're not geniuses. They got lucky, which is great.
And that's the thing about it was because this took the place of their All-Star game.
Yeah,
and in their All-Star game, the actual game itself, it sucked. It did.
Did it?
That's why I said
I
would watch the skill challenge because that was fun, you know, hockey, shooting the goals and everything like that. But the game stunk. You know, because it was an exhibition. Although, mm-hmm, this was a perfect match with these four countries. And for them to have this tournament right here, whatever you want to call it, it was unbelievable. It was unbelievable. And just like you said, the NHL, something just fell in their lap.
Yeah.
Like, boom.
Yeah.
Oh,
right. Which good,
is awesome.
Which is good because,
yeah,
they've made a lot of mistakes,
yes,
over the last,
yes,
20 years,
yes,
or so. Like, I mean, Gary Bettman is a guy who's been as maligned as Rob Manfred by hockey fans,
yes,
for the last 20 years,
yes,
or so. So, yeah, good for them to get a win. Again, I don't know if it does translate into more popularity. That'd be great. Like, sports in general being more popular in general is good for anyone in the sports community. And just as a sports fan, it was cool to have something to get excited about last night. It does to me, and this is without sort of digging back up that topic of the NBA in general, All-Star game, whatever. Like, that's been well worn. Maybe they'll figure it out. Maybe they won't. That's not really, you know, that's not really today's discussion. It's more just about, like, the fact that it did fall in their laps and it did work out like this.
Mm-hmm.
It's just proof that kind of anything can be cool.
Mm-hmm.
If you get the right buy-in from the people that are in it. That's
correct.
Really what it
100%.
Is. Like,
100%.
If the folks, and obviously they're great at it too. Like, that plays a part of it as well. But it's like, if it's like why the combine. That's why people like the combine. It's because those guys are out there trying their absolute hardest to get to the next level. And it's just kind of entertaining to watch great athletes be great athletes.
Right.
And try their best. That's it. All it really is like effort and athleticism and interest.
Right.
Those are the things, right? Like, I'm interested in trying hard. I'm really good at it. Watch me do it. Okay, I will. Sign me up. You know what I mean?
I know exactly.
It's not complicated.
But it's fun. But yeah, last night was again, an outstanding night. And it was one of those things where you're on the edge of your seat. That, and hockey does that, especially playoff hockey. It does that to you. It has you on the edge of your seat. And like casual fans like myself, that's the only time I watch it. I'll watch it then. And obviously, if Florida's playing, I'm definitely going to watch it. But yeah, it was great. Sucks that we lost. But yeah. Just an awesome night.
Yeah, it was really fun. The Hawks also played basketball.
Okay.
That game wasn't as fun.
I know
this. Started
off
good.
I know this. I know that Trey gets fined, and I know that Coach Quinn will get fined, and
yeah,
all them people will get fined. I ain't getting fined. What an asshat crew.
It was very bad.
What?
It was very, very bad.
Just awful.
And I know that this is something that's been talked about the last month or so with the Hawks, the officiating. Like, last night was extreme.
Yes.
It was,
yes,
a very poorly officiated,
yes,
basketball,
yes,
game.
Yes, it was.
Trey talked about it afterwards. We'll let you hear it in about 10 minutes in What's Trending. I mean, you didn't have to you didn't have to look hard to see. And then you kind of dig further into it. There's three officials in an NBA game, right?
Yes.
Two of them pretty much called it even.
Yes.
Five fouls on this team, six fouls on this team, whatever. Then there's this one guy who called 17 fouls on the Hawks and I think five fouls on the Magic, who happens to be from Orlando and live there.
Oh, really?
Which is just kind of fishy.
I didn't know all that.
Yeah, Hawks Twitter did a little did a little post-game investigating on him.
I didn't know all that.
He also has only called two Orlando Magic games this year.
Uh-huh.
That was one of them, and he called 17 fouls on the Hawks. The other one was a Nets Magic game earlier this year. It's the most fouls that the Nets have had called on them in any game this season was in that game. So maybe they need to take a look at that guy.
There's troublesome areas everywhere. He think they gonna bang on his house or something down in Orlando?
Or maybe he's just such a fan. He's just trying to help him out.
What a lame. That's lame and corny.
It is, really.
How the hell do you get a guy?
Don't be cheating for the Magic.
Like, that's unbelievable.
Also, I didn't know anybody cared that much about the Magic. Like, good for him.
He does.
Good for them, I guess.
He does. That's fishy.
He must have been. He must have been born in the like the Shaq Penny era. Right?
I mean, that was the best era.
It must have been. Yeah. Or maybe those, you know, the Dwight era was good.
Oh, yeah.
They went to the finals, too.
They did go to the finals, too.
Maybe he's a big Hedo Turkoglu guy.
I mean, who isn't?
I am.
Who isn't? No, I mean, him and what's his name? Petri Dish?
Michael Petrie. Yeah. Jameer Nelson.
They got some Lewis. They got some all right teams.
Yeah, they were good. They went to the NBA Finals.
Beat LeBron them.
Obviously, you know. Dwight was incredible at the time. But that's not the point. The point is, last night, the game was very poorly officiated.
Yes, it was.
Now, the Hawks also shot like they were drunk. Like, they played the final three quarters of that game like somebody put tequila in the Gatorade.
You knew they were coming.
They couldn't make layups.
You knew they were going to lose that lead, though. I'm thinking, God.
12-point lead in the NBA is nothing. In the first half is nothing. Like, and it was erased by halftime. The Magic have really good players, too. I mean, Paolo Banchero's back, and Franz Wagner played well last night. Those guys combined for 61 points last night. It's going to be tough when those guys are going off like that. But it also doesn't help when the refs are, you know.
Yeah, it was raggedy.
When the refs are officiating the game, it was raggedy.
And like you said, we're going to play the sound of Trey talking about that. But, I mean, it was just, like you said, if all the refs called whatever. But for him to call that many today, I bet his two other homeboys like, damn, dog. Like, how do you go to.
Maybe let it breathe a little bit.
How do you go to a replay thing, right? They put the half the screen. Uh-huh. You sit down there, Andy. You know where the screen is, right?
No, we don't sit down.
Oh, y'all sit down there?
Now the radio people were in the rafters.
Okay. Well, anyway, it's right over there by Tigger, right? Over there by Tigger and
they wouldn't Meek let me anywhere
and,
near
and,
Tigger.
And all them, you know, that's where all them work at, right?
Yeah, all
and
the celebrities.
They have a monitor they turn around, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And they show the monitor the thing on TV, right?
I think so, yeah.
How the hell did they reverse the call?
Well, because Trey's knee intentionally hit Paolo's knee. Yeah, it was intentional knee-on-knee contact. You know, like you do.
Yeah.
You try to bang your knee into another guy's knee.
Yeah, why not? I mean,
nothing feels better than banging knees.
No.
Everybody knows that.
I don't need mine.
Yeah, the old knee-on-knee trick.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, no, it was crazy. And then to not reverse it is very bad. So, yeah, Hawks lose last night. Trey played incredibly well as far as scoring goes.
Yes.
Wasn't his normal assist night, but that's also because everybody missed shots.
Yes.
They shot 39% from the floor, which is very bad.
Yeah, they were
and they missed a ton of point blank layups.
They were still on vacation, man. They really were still on vacation, but yeah.
There was the return of
the Clint Capella.
The Clint Capella.
Yeah, baby.
And it looked like it.
Oh.
Boys.
Oh.
I don't know, man. Clint was back. His hands weren't.
Yeah, I remember, like, when my mom was teaching about basketball, they were, use the backboard! Like,
Nobody told
Clint.
That's what the square's up there for.
Oh, God, Mom.
Use the square.
That'd be all day. Just sitting there all day with my mama. Hit the square, Andy.
Just hit the square.
Hit the square, Andy. Hit the square, Randy.
Right. Okay.
All day.
All right,
Mom.
Bank shots. Bank
I got
shots.
You.
Bank shots. No, not Clint.
No.
Just hit something. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to what's trending. We'll let you hear Trey say the refs sucked. Actually, he said way worse than that, but we'll let you hear what he said coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned, and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Andy.
I even asked Caitlin if she liked throwing people out, and she said that's what makes her a good ref. So it's shit like that. It's personal for some of these refs, and some stuff that fans don't even get to hear, but you get to see it in their calls and their actions and things like that. So you just wish that you could get some refs that just don't take things personal and understand that people grow. I'm not 19 anymore. I can communicate with these people. And I have with a lot of the refs, and I feel like the refs have been responsive for the most part, but then you get a handful that, like we get tonight, that are just, I mean, take personal, and you can see it by the way they make their calls.
He's
spot on.
And this is my first time hearing this. Mm-hmm. My first time hearing that right there. And I was thinking about this morning, as you know, brainstorming stuff. And the first thing I thought about was like, these dudes still seem like they sensed it when Trey was young.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think there's a lot. Now, I don't really know what.
Because they look at him.
He was like?
Yeah, he was.
I guess.
Yeah, but how's
he
different?
I guess he was a bit more
whine,
complaining, I suppose.
And everything like that. But I look at it and I was like, well, all of them whine.
Right.
Is it because Trey's little?
I don't know.
You know what I mean?
That's the thing that has always confused me about the criticisms of Trey that we know.
Right.
Then there's always like the, you know, like the secret stuff people talk about. Well, they don't like him because of this and that. It's like, I don't know any of that to be true.
What, like,
those are all rumors. But the stuff that we actually hear people talking about of like the foul baiting,
everybody does it.
Every guard does it.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Everybody tries to get to the line. The jawing at refs, complaining, everybody does it. It's very irritating.
Yes.
A lot of people do it way more than Trey does.
Yes, they do.
They get talked about it less than Trey. And you're right. Like, he's spot on with what he's talking about. Like, all right, maybe we – because he used to get teched up a lot.
Yes,
he used to get teed up a lot for complaining with refs. He's gotten better at that, I think, a bit over time. He still does get a lot of tees. He got one last night. But, yeah, okay. So I was 20, and maybe I was a little bit more loud than I should have been, a little bit more argumentative than I should have been about that. But, like, yeah, can I evolve? Like, can I grow up a little bit? Can we squash this thing? You're still going to call every little touchy foul on me because I said something bad about you 5 years ago? Like, let's try to be grown-ups about this. I'm trying to do my job. Yeah. I'm trying to grow. Can you just do your job so we can try? Because it does seem like that. We've talked about this a bit this year in the last couple of years with Trey. It's like, all right, so maybe he was a little immature when he was 20.
Yeah.
Who wasn't?
Who was? Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And now he's been in the league for a long time. He seems to be a bit of a different guy because, you know, he's older. Who doesn't mature throughout their 20s? And it seems like some of the early stuff is still being held against him.
Yeah, it really does. And that's unfortunate, man.
It sucks.
It sucks, man.
It's so dumb.
We understand the relationship that Chris Paul has with that one dude. They just don't like each other. He hates Chris. And everybody knows it. He don't make no bones about
Chris
it.
Chris hates him. He hates
I hate Chris.
It
he hates me.
Is.
It is what it is with that one. How about them beating the Phoenix Suns last
they
night?
They sure did.
Shame of
yeah, Wemby
stuff.
Getting hurt, Wemby and they still won the game.
Hell yeah. But anyways, I mean, that is going to be something. And again, I try to figure out why it is because it's the game. Everybody whines. Is it because he's the smallest whiner?
Yeah,
I don't know. I honestly don't know.
Is this like a wine face?
I don't.
Does he have a bad wine face?
He does.
No one has a worse wine face in the whole world than Luka.
Yeah.
Luka's the whiniest face in the world.
And Luka gets teed up.
But he also gets a lot of calls.
Yes.
And also, people talk about it. They talk about it. I'm not going to say they don't because it's definitely a narrative with Luka. Like, people bring up the fact that he probably needs to change his behavior on the court a little bit for his long-term goals. But yeah, I don't know. It's dumb. Like, if that's what it is, if it's personal and the Hawks got, how many free throws last night did the Hawks shoot? 28. And you got the Magic shooting 38 free throws last night on the Hawks' home floor. Like, we understand sometimes a home whistle is a bit more friendly. It wasn't that last night for the Hawks. No. It was a very unfriendly whistle last night.
It was kind of home.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, the guy who
kept blowing his whistle the whole time was from Orlando.
He makes his home. He makes his home.
You can see if you look close, you could see the Shaq pinstripe.
Yeah, something like that, man.
Magic jersey from back in the day.
That's funny what else do you have to do? Obviously, to get the investigation, this man is from Orlando. It's pretty solid.
Well done by Hawks Twitter.
It's pretty solid.
Hawks Twitter at it again. They're all a lot of respect for Hawks Twitter because they're unrelenting, even in seasons that continue to be frustrating. Like this one, where there seemed to be a bit of promise at one point, and then the guy that, you know, the young guy that all of it was built up on gets hurt. They're still there every night.
Yes.
Digging into stats, talking about true shooting percentages and, you know, whatever else. They're at it.
You can miss me with the true shooting percentage.
I just feel like if you were ever going to stop doing that stuff, it might be like, all right, we'll chill out post All-Star. We're still at it.
Nah.
We're doing it. We're going to dig into it every night. And sometimes a ref from Orlando has to get called out.
Yeah, and he got called out, man.
So there you go.
I mean, what's the criteria? Like, how does he get through? But the thing, you can't help where you live at.
You can't help where you
live. You know what I mean?
Like, I kind of doubt that had anything to do with it. It's probably more that person doesn't like Trey from back in the day. Because, you know, these guys do say some pretty wild stuff to refs when they don't get their calls.
Do.
You know what I mean?
They do. They do. And
I don't know what he said to him, but it might have been pretty wild.
I've been in a situation like that, Buck. There was this SEC, this brother, he was an SEC referee when I was at Georgia. Big dude, he's a line judge. And I used to give him hell. And I'm in Georgia. And so when I got to the league, he was got promoted. He was a referee in the NFL. And I remember that, I'll never forget it. I forgot what game it was. But he came to me, he's like, hey, 8-1, we ain't going to have that Georgia stuff here today. And I was like, Dang it. He's following me. He's following me and everything. But that's crazy.
My principal from middle school showed up at my high school. She hated me.
Uh-huh.
Then she shows up my senior year. She's the vice principal. Wouldn't you know it?
What happened?
I got in school suspension for a slightly inappropriate homecoming skit that we did.
Oh, what'd you do?
We said a cuss word.
Oh, man, that ain't that bad.
That's not that bad.
That's not that bad.
But there she was, Miss Thomas. Yeah. I was like, I thought I escaped the shackles. She was following me.
I
can relate.
I think in-school suspension is a damn sham.
Yeah, just it's make me stay home.
Make me stay home.
Make me stay home.
Yeah, why can't I just stay home? I mean, it's just a sham.
Yeah.
Why I got to put on my school clothes and go sit in school all day?
Sit in this room
all day?
God, it's a long day.
Yeah. But they don't want to punish you at home because I'm at home. I'm chilling.
Home's great.
Yeah.
I'm just sitting there.
But that's, I mean,
watching Price is Right.
Yeah, watching because that's all I was on. Price Writing stories.
That was the worst. When Price is Right was over, it's like, well, I don't like soap operas.
Yeah, I
guess I'll just take a nap or something.
Your story. But see, thing with Angel didn't let you get away with just being suspended. Oh boy, you was cleaning.
Oh.
You was doing something.
Smart.
You were doing something.
I never got stay home suspension.
Oh yeah, but
I got in school suspension a couple times.
Yeah. No, Angel, you weren't just gonna sit around Angel House. Angel had you washing walls, scrubbing floors,
what was
on your knees.
What was your tactic for faking sick?
I never faked sick.
You didn't?
Mm-mm.
Really?
Mm-mm.
You'd never just be like, I'm not feeling it.
Mm-mm.
I'm gonna stay home today.
Mm-mm.
Oh.
Mm-mm.
Hmm.
I was always a perfect attendance dude, man.
Oh, really?
Oh, mama made you go to school.
Unless I was suspended. I would fake sick.
Unless I was suspended, I was at school.
One time, I put the thermometer on the light bulb.
Right.
And it broke the thermometer. So the jig was up. It was like a little black spot on the metal part, like the tip that goes under your tongue, you know?
Yeah.
My mom was like, all right, you're going to school. Obviously, you're lying
If I missed school, it's got skipped. That was it.
Yeah, we would do that in high school, too.
Like, I didn't get sick a lot or anything.
I wasn't actually sick.
No, I'm saying I wanted to watch the Champions League.
I
didn't get sick or anything like that. I just, you know, I was always
Champions League came on at 11:45 on the West Coast.
That is true.
I wanted to watch Manchester United play Real Madrid. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But, yeah, I never tried the thermostat on the thermometer on the light. Never
I got that. Away with it for a little while.
She believed you?
Yeah. I mean, I would take it off before it got too hot. You know,
but you weren't warm enough.
Like, I was like, I feel warm. You know, you do a couple jumping jacks.
Man, you get that. You get a sister mama. She done been and put you in a damn old Van Eric claw. Like, you got your paw, got her hands on your temple. Like, you don't feel hot. Rubbing your damn chest.
It's an internal temperature.
Yeah.
It's an internal fever.
Oh,
it's
okay.
Not coming out yet. It's going to come out later after you go to work.
Yeah.
All right, let's hear Connor McDavid win the game last night for Canada.
Fantastic.
There you have it.
The best player in the world.
Yeah, he's really good. He's good player. Huge moment for him. Kind of reminiscent, not the same thing, but kind of reminiscent of Sidney Crosby's moment in overtime against the U.S. back in 2010. Yeah. That was an Olympic gold medal. This is different. But Connor McDavid still doesn't have that signature
that was his moment.
Championship moment in the NHL. He'll get it. Like they've been so close, and he'll get it. But, yeah, that's his moment for Canada last night. So, great game.
How long has Sid been in? Oh, this dude's been around forever.
Forever.
I mean, and you look at
his, and just the evolution that his career is undertaking.
Yeah, man. Because I mean, you remember when he first came in? Yeah,
everybody hated him.
And then
babyface whiner.
Then the concussions and everything like that. And now you know the elder statesman. And now I mean, he seemed like he's passing the torch to this young man. But yeah, I thought last night it was great. We talked earlier in the show, just like if there was an MVP. I'm sure there was. Don't know who it was, but the MVP.
Well, the MVP of the game last night was Connor McDavid.
Yeah,
just for the goal.
Just for the goal, because he didn't have the U.S. did a really good job on him, but just the goalie was just unbelievable in overtime. Just like you said, just cocky with the glove saves. Just an unbelievable performance because we had him. Right there, point blank.
Yep.
And he was just doing everything he had to do.
Eichel had a great look early in overtime. That was a tough angle, but still, Eichel's so damn good. Like, he scored from there so many times. And Binnington just gloved it.
Yep.
It's like, dang. Man,
give me that.
The one that was the craziest,
the reflexes they have are just unbelievable.
Was the one where it was a rebound. I don't remember who shot it for the U.S., but it was a rebound, and he was like falling forward to try to cover that side of the net, and as he's going down, he gloved it. Dude. It's like, what in the?
But that's what I'm saying.
These guys are just different levels of reflexes.
The reflexes is unbelievable.
Reflexes and flexibility. Because, that's what goalies are. I think that's crazy.
And they're big dudes.
Yeah, they're huge now.
They're big.
Yeah, they're like 6'5".
Yes, they're
it's crazy.
Big as hell. But you look there, and I mean, they're sliding forward. And I'm like, did he see that puck, or he just like felt the trajectory? I'm like, there's no way in the hell he saw that damn puck.
There was one last night. Yeah. I was like, I'm not trying to disparage what he's doing, because what he's doing out there is incredible. But, like, some of it is, like, educated guessing.
It gotta
right?
be. There's no way you saw
There's
that
There's no way he did that 100% on purpose. Like, some of it is educated guessing. It has to be. All right, we'll come back. We're going to talk a little NFL draft as the Combine is next week. One of our favorite draft analysts, Daniel Jeremiah, had his annual, like, media. You know how good of a draft analyst you have to be for other media and draft analysts to have a press conference where they ask you questions? Like, that's how good Daniel Jeremiah is. He said Georgia's got a boatload of dudes. Boatload of dudes. Dude, do the Falcons like boats?
I mean, Arthur Wayne has a really nice one.
He does have a big yacht. Flower Branch is, like, pretty close to Lake Lanier.
Let's not talk about that.
Draft one of them. Get a dude. One of the dudes on the boat. All right, we'll be right back. Talk some NFL draft. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Midday show, Andy and Randy. Happy Hour Friday. Hey, it's a good day to be drinking. Something. Get some spirits in you. It's freezing out there. No. Feels like Russia. Drink some vodka. Send us a picture of it if you are, or whatever it is that you're drinking, at TVM929, at RandyMac81. We'll give you a shout-out on the radio. We'll say your name and say what you're drinking and wish you a happy Friday as well.
Because it's a beautiful
Friday. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful day. I mean, it is. The sun's out. Just don't try. If you don't have to go out there, try not to. I know people can't help it. I always try to check my phone before I go outside. Usually I'll go outside to let the dog out and kind of test it a little bit, but I checked my phone and it said 20 this morning, and that's too low of a number to be for the temperature, but that's what it was, so bundle up.
I'm trying to picture your backyard, because Boone, the backyard is fenced in, y'all, right, all the way, but he can jump over the fence if he wants, right?
He could if he wanted to, he's never done it.
Okay.
Knocking on wood.
Yeah, because I mean, I'll let Nico out. The biggest thing with his little ass is he's actually, because she tried to bury her. The side, so he can't get over where the pool is.
How big is he now? Like, what do we talk about pounds
big
wise? 100 yet?
Almost.
Yeah.
Dude, he's a big old baby.
He's just two boons
now. Dude, he hit, like, He hit Sebastian so hard yesterday with his tail and knocked him over. That's how big he is now. He was waving that tail and hit Bastion in the head. Bastion fell over.
Yeah.
I was like, dude, he's just like, just still a big ass baby.
Yeah, I mean, he is not even a year yet. He's just a huge puppy.
Big ass baby. I'm like, I don't walk. Like, that's a Samson's chore. You walk the dog every single day. Daddy lets him out in the morning, feeds him, brings him back in, because now he has this call when he wants to come back in now, because how loud he is, so he'll start barking.
Oh, he's got a specific let me in bark?
Yeah. I'm like, oh, hell. Let me get up and go let his ass back in, because he'll wake up the whole damn neighborhood.
The worst is now, and not, I don't want to say the worst, because they're all wonderful and I love all of them, but the worst now is when all three of them, and I include Boone in the three of them, decide they want something at the same time, and she'll be daddy, 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 and Jack is getting pretty close, but he's still more like grunts and points, you know, and he's yelling at me, and then Boone does his like irritated bark where he sits there, like in the sitting position, right, tails wagging, he's looking at you just with the intensity of a thousand suns, and he hits you with like a wow. And it's like one of the three of you is about to die. Like, I don't know. I can't take all three at the same time. You have to leave me alone. And then that'll be the time when my wife is also like, let's see if I can ask him to do something real quick, too. Hey, coming up on Sunday, we need to. Come on, guys.
Yes.
You got to pick your moment.
Because you have everything when you know your wife, because my wife's her thing is baby. And when she says it like that, she saw something and needs me to know that right then and there. And it's always sudden. I'm always quiet. Baby, what?
Ah, all right. That's the cue for money.
Yes,
we're gonna spend some money now.
Yes, that is the baby. How long a layover do you think we should take in Qatar? What are you talking about? I'm not gonna go damn Qatar.
Yeah,
yeah. But we're going somewhere. But like, I was like, I don't want to go there. She's like, don't you want to?
No.
Don't you want to go ride a camel in a desert? No.
Mm-mm.
Don't
actually
no. No, I don't want to ride.
Not on the list.
I don't want to ride no damn camel. Mm-mm. No, like that is the randomness.
Plus, also they got camels in Georgia.
Where?
There are farms.
Oh, but Cartersville, right?
Yeah, Cartersville's got camels up there.
Yeah, I go ride a camel up there.
That's not too far.
I don't want to ride no damn camel.
Hell of a lot closer than Qatar. Like, I might want to go there for some reason, but it's not that. I'm that hard, hell-bent to ride a camel, I'll go up to Cartersville.
Yeah, okay? You want to go to Qatar? Like, what are you talking about?
Is that what I want to do? I do the same thing, though, where, like, I'll use a different, because I got 1,000 different names. I call all of them, all endearing, right? Yeah. The worst thing I call them is their actual name.
Mm-hmm.
But
When
I call them their actual name, that's business time, right? Like because I was in here the other day when I got a message from I got a message from Ashley.
Yeah.
Okay. And Ashley is what I call her when it's time to say no. I don't want to spend money on that right now. We agreed that we were not going to do that this year, and I know that the money's because the funniest thing is we'll be texting and then she'll send me a DM on Instagram. And it's like, we're texting. Like, why are you? It was a link to something that we need to spend money on.
Yes,
got it.
Yes, yes. I got four in the last 40 minutes.
Ashley, the answer is no.
Yes. I got four. I just got 40 of them in the last 20 minutes. Yes.
Yeah. Pettit Creek Farms in Cartersville.
Yeah.
Largest camel herd in Georgia.
Really?
In all of Georgia.
There we go.
So there you go. Oh, that's not too bad.
I don't want to. You know,
that's
I want
just pass Ackworth.
I don't ride animals, dude.
You know, you could, you make that a twofer. You go ride a camel in Cartersville and then go up to Bucky's. Not too far past there.
I'm cool.
That's two things you don't want to do.
I'm cool, man. I mean, this is how far I got to Bucky's. I sat in the car.
In the parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't make them drop you at the other gas station time.
Nah,
that's good.
Nah, dude. I was like, here, I'll sit right here. Y'all go ahead. But then it's always, well, I was like, oh, yeah, you and your little broke-ass little besties need money.
Oh, that's a thing too, huh?
What?
It's not just kids, that's kids' friends?
Oh, yeah.
Ugh.
No, they all on broke. Ugh. My daughter Kyle yesterday.
Well, I know they're all broke, but only one of them being broke's my problem.
Yeah, but no, I mean, come on, dog. That's one thing I won't do. If my kids have their friends over, I won't give just her money.
Right.
I'll take care of them.
This makes sense. I just didn't think about it.
Yeah, I'll take care of them too.
These are just things that haven't come up yet.
Yeah, I'll take care. Oh, prom update. She didn't fleece me but she wanted me to buy her ticket for the dance. I was like, hey, he asked you, why can't he pay for the ticket? You know what I mean? I mean, I'm still on that phase, but it's
how much does a prom ticket run you these days?
$80
What?
Yeah,
$80.
Yeah.
Holy.
Yeah, $80.
Do the pictures come with it?
I don't know.
I doubt it.
I don't
Probably
know.
Not.
I don't know.
$80.
I don't know.
You remember how much prom was when you were in high school?
$20
$20
Yeah,
that's exactly how much it cost to go to prom.
$20 for the picture.
And I don't know what you got with that. And I think you had to pay extra to get the pictures.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, but yeah, I promise, because
we spent half a prom in line for pictures.
I'm from the country. We didn't go to no ballroom. We had our prom in the damn Peach County gym.
That's great. Yeah. That's where it should be.
Yeah, we had it at the gym.
We had ours at some weird event center on the Puget Sound.
Yeah.
So it was probably even more expensive because of that, because you could overlook the water.
Yeah.
Very romantic. It was really romantic when my best friend Matt was puking over the railing and we were trying to hide him from the administrators. He's seasick. He's seasick. We're not on the ocean, but we're near it.
Yeah.
He gets sick when he's close to it.
Yeah, I'll just make that up.
Now he got caught.
Okay.
He got in trouble. Yeah. You're not supposed to come drunk to prom. And if you do, you're not supposed to let everybody know about it by throwing up in the bushes. They don't like that.
You hung up with some dudes.
I mean, people go to prom drunk, right?
No, I'm saying like between that and the cussing at the thing.
Well, that was
me. Switching,
that was me.
It was always a group of y'all.
Yeah, I mean, we were seniors in high school.
Yeah, I was saying. Yeah. You were some dudes.
Yeah.
Some troublemakers.
I guess. I mean, look, everybody in high school did some stuff, right? I think by and large, we were a pretty good group of people,
mm-hmm.
pretty good group of guys.
Yeah.
But everybody, you know.
Watch out, here comes Bunk's crew.
You raised a little hell in high school, don't you?
Yeah, here comes Bunk's crew.
Everybody got in a little bit of trouble in high school, didn't they?
I would think so.
And by and large, we kept our noses clean, I feel like. Yeah, all right.
No,
let's talk to we weren't doing that.
You.
Not
Thank
in high
you.
School.
Thank you.
All right. Daniel Jeremiah, not surprisingly, very high on the group of Georgia Bulldogs coming out of Athens into the draft this year. He was asked about D-Led actually asked him on his conference call yesterday just to kind of talk about him, the guys that are going to go in the first round and all that. He was not very confident that Jalen Walker was going to last past top 10.
I agree.
Like, he's probably going top 10.
It's going to be.
And so he probably won't even be there when the Falcons draft.
I think Mike Hill's going to go top 5 for some reason.
Now, that wasn't what Daniel was saying. He was saying just because of the rawness of it and because of how much time he missed last year.
Mm-hmm.
Now, once he gets in the – all this is going to change
because
once they go work out next week.
That's what happened to
Trayvon.
Trayvon, that's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
Nobody thought, I think they thought he was going to be a first rounder. And then as the combine and the workouts and everything, and as we got closer to the draft, you started hearing, like, this dude might go number one overall.
I don't remember who it was, but somebody said it first. If it was Daniel Jeremiah, if it was one of the other guys. But I remember we heard it, and it was like right after the combine. Mm-hmm. And they were like, yeah. Trayvon might be the number one pick.
Yeah,
and we were like, I don't. Yeah,
I heard it from my boy Woody.
Probably not.
From Damian Woody, because I saw Damian Woody tweeting. He said Trayvon Walker might go higher than most people think. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize he's gonna go number one, but I just think Mikael's gonna go top five somewhere because of all the raw ability. Now, DJ, I will always take his word for it and everything like that.
But here's
also
the thing about his word though, and this is what I like about him, and I'm sure other guys do this too, but he's very transparent about it. Like, his rankings are gonna change.
Yeah.
He's going to change them based on what he sees when they go to the combine. And even more than that, like, this is all based on what he's seen from watching tape on him from college.
Right.
Which I think should be the most important thing, hopefully, for
we
all these guys.
We both agree on that.
But he's not the one who's drafting him, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when he's talking about his order of mock draft, that's different than ranking in terms of who he thinks is best. The mock draft is based on what he's hearing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you need to go on. Like, it doesn't matter what everyone thinks of one guy. If there's a general manager that thinks he's the best guy, he's going number one.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's where a lot of this stuff changes.
And then you look at who's at the top. I mean, Tennessee, I don't know where Tennessee goes. I mean, they need a quarterback. But I think they're in a standpoint, like, I think a lot of teams are that need quarterbacks, franchise young quarterbacks with just this class. They're going to hold out. Like, well, you know, because you got a new general manager who obviously wants to pick his own coach. I mean, Tennessee did keep their coach from last year, so better quarterback class next year, and you get an opportunity. If you sink, you're the new GM, you can fire the coach, get your own guy in there, and draft your quarterback. I think you're going to see that a lot. I think Cleveland's probably going to do it. I think Tennessee's going to do it. The Giants are the tricky one because
–
Dayball them are like on. Well, they're dead man walking.
Yeah, they have to win.
Yes.
Otherwise they're all going to get fired.
Yeah, so
that was the most interesting thing. And this was just pie in the sky stuff. But on the same podcast, Dan Jeremiah was like, "Yeah, they just draft Travis Hunter. sign Matt or trade whatever, get Matthew Stafford, get Cooper Kupp package deal, and then you got Kupp, Hunter, little offensive sprinkle, defense too. Obviously, you got Malik Nabers, and you got Stafford throwing it to him. I was like, well, you just fix all their problems right there. That's no, exactly what you need to do.
But they have the Giants offensive line.
They do, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is good.
Yeah.
Yeah, Matthew Stafford behind the Giants offensive line.
Yeah, Matthew Stafford behind the Giants offensive line.
So here's the – here's maybe this is the Falcons' best-case scenario from their standpoint is what you just sort of diagrammed was Michael – does so well at the combine and in interviews that he blows everybody's socks off and gets drafted top five. Jalen top 10, and then they don't have to actually deal with it. You know what I mean? That's what I said 2 years ago with Jalen Carter.
You did.
I was like, I pray to God somebody takes him before eight,
because
the Falcons aren't gonna.
Yeah.
And then we're gonna have to deal with that for the next 10 years when he's the best defensive lineman in football.
And it's crazy because like obviously we were up there that next day and just like damn. I mean, Bijan's fine.
He's really good.
He's a stud.
He's really good. But he's a luxury item.
He's a luxury.
When you have the issues that this franchise has had for decades.
Because that's the thing about it was, and we're sitting there, and like draft day on that Thursday night, and you're just sitting there just watching Jalen drop. He's dropping.
Yep.
He's dropping.
Yep.
Oh, man, he's dropping.
Boy.
Oh, he's right there.
Boy, would this be nice. Nope.
Oh, he's right there.
And then not only that, to go next.
Yes.
Right? Go next and then be what he's been, and now he's a Super Bowl champion. And not to say that had the Falcons drafted him, the Falcons would have won the Super Bowl, because obviously there's a lot more that goes into it than that. But yeah, I mean, kind of worst case scenario would be that Bijan hasn't been great. Bijan's been great.
Yes, he has.
Like, Bijan's been really, really good. But it's one of those situations where almost like last year, it's like, well, you just spent $100 million on a quarterback. How are you drafting a quarterback when you have all these other needs? You just had a 1,000-yard rookie running back last year. Mm-hmm. How are you drafting a running back when you have all these other needs? I understand the whatever, like the best kick player, blah, blah, blah. But like you've had this issue for literally 25 years, and you haven't been able to address it. And this guy's sitting there
right
in your lap.
There in your lap.
Everybody knows what he's going to be. I mean, I understand. He fell. So other teams passed on him too. Yes. He fell, and there was. I mean, obviously,
them damn teams.
I don't cover those teams. I cover this one and that one that he played for. So I saw him play every single game that he played in college, and every single game that he played, he was amazing.
Right.
And it was like, oh, it'd be great to have that. And now the Eagles got it. So no, honestly, best case scenario would be that Mykal Williams and Jalen Walker get drafted before the Falcons draft, so we don't have to do that again, because they're not going to take them.
Oh, we
they're not.
We definitely agree on that.
They're not going to take
it. We definitely agree on that. But I mean, that's why when you look at, I hate saying that. They're going to take a defensive player. Now, I don't know if they're going to take a corner. They need another corner. They need another corner. There's some very good corners in this draft, but they need some kind of defensive lineman. They need some kind of defensive lineman.
Yeah.
Yes. That'd like in the first two picks. First two picks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because this thing, I forgot the caller who we had yesterday. He was spot on with the whole, if you draft Michael, if you got time to develop him. You know what I mean? But if you're talking about, there's no telling what he'll be when he gets to the league. You know, meaning he might hit the ground running and just go.
Right.
Because he has the physical tools. You just never, ever know. I don't view Michael as a project. I just think he's raw. Like a lot of these guys. You know, you're never a finished product. Very rarely do you come in as a finished product in the NFL.
You can be productive while you're also growing.
Yes.
Like, you can come in and be a productive edge rusher while you're becoming a better edge rusher.
Yes.
And then by year 3 and 4 and 5, then you're really good. Then you're a polished diamond.
Yep.
Then you're getting double-digit sacks a year.
And then you're getting paid.
Or take the tight end from Michigan. Pretty good. Loveland.
He's a good player.
Yeah, he's good. Really good.
Don't take him.
Tyler Warren.
Yeah, I know. He's a good player. Don't take him.
Ashton Jeanty. Get another running back.
Yeah. Why not?
Add him to the pile. Can't never have too many running backs. That's what they say about team building. All right. This hour has been brought to you by Padley. Sell your home for cash fast.
They'll burn down. Flowery Branch.
Man, if they haven't yet, the fact that building's still standing is a miracle. I'm not. They got good security guards. All right. We'll come back. We'll get to an NFL no huddle to kick off the noon hour. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.